The following program contains coarse language and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised.
Was Israel supposed to be having relations with other gods? No. Israel was supposed to be having relations with the one God. What happened when Israel went after other gods? God related them to an unfaithful wife, right? An unfaithful spouse. He called them whores. They went whoring after the other nations. God is the one that brought in the sexual analogy to describe unfaithful Israel. Just like a wife who's unfaithful to her husband goes out opening her legs to everyone. Well, Israel would go out and she would be seduced by false gods. Some of these false gods, such as Baal Peor, would actually incorporate prostitution into their worship system. Okay, but this was in the day when Satan was not as tricky as he is today. That's right, it wasn't as obvious back then. It's not as obvious now, because Satan has other tactics that he employs. But it's the same type of prostitution, because Christianity is still going after false gods, as I told you yesterday. I'm going to link you to my article, Sex with the Devil. Under here, link you to the article. It's in my ZWTF newsletter. I referenced it yesterday, and my sister did put the link on there. Sex with the devil. Who's having sex with the devil? How are people having sex with the devil? Well, it's allegorical. Satan is a spiritual being. I hope most of my listeners understand that Satan is real. Demonic spirits are real. False gods are real. There is spiritual warfare. Have you ever heard of that, right? Spiritual warfare goes on all the time, and it has to do with malignant spiritual forces trying to screw up the testimony of God in Christ, trying to lie about it, and effectively lying about it so that people don't find out about God and Christ. So how do you have sex with the devil today? The same way that Israel went whoring after other nations. You have illicit relationships with a falseness, with a false deity. Today, there is a false deity afoot. And it's so seductive that it has branded itself as Christian. It has branded itself as God-fearing. It has all the right names, all the right appellations. Christ, they talk about God, they talk about Christ, but it's a false system. Now, in Revelation chapter 17, this system is called Babylon, and it's called a prostitute. It's called a prostitute. Now, Babylon has been the world capital of three different world kingdoms. The Babylonian Empire, Medo-Persian Empire, and the Grecian Empire, centered all around Babylon. But the word comes from the Tower of Babel. Remember that? Yeah, the nations tried to reach God, and they tried to become one, and they wanted to be uniform. And God confused their languages at Babel. That's the actual location. It was where the city of Babylon is. You can still go there today. The site of the ancient Babylon. That's where the Tower of Babel was as well. The word Babel is very interesting. It means confusion. That's why when people say they babble, you're just babbling. What are you babbling about? Stop babbling. It means you're not saying anything that makes any sense. This is the very definition of Christian doctrine. Babbling, making no sense. As I said yesterday, talking out of both sides of your mouth. Yes, well, we know that God is love, and we know that God is grace, and we know that He will do everything for humanity. He'll seek the lost sheep until He finds it. Of course, if you don't love Him back, you're going to be burned in hell for eternity. He becomes a God of hate. He absolutely turns on you. Or they say, this is just a manifestation of God's love that He burns people in hell for eternity. Okay, that is babble. It's confusion. Then to say that God is in control of everything except evil. Well, no, God has nothing to do with evil. But I thought He's in control of everything. Well, He is, but. See, He is, but. That's the babble. Here's babble. 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. That's the Trinity. We have three beings who are all God, but there's only one God. 3, 1 plus 1. It's babble. That's confusion. So Christianity not the only religion that speaks nonsense, that speaks gibberish, but it's the main one, and it's the most deceptive one because it has stolen the name of God and Christ. Listen to this, Revelation chapter 17, verse 3. And he carries me away in spirit, this is John speaking, into a wilderness. And I perceived a woman. Now this is John seeing this in a vision. I perceived a woman sitting on a scarlet wild beast, replete with the names of blasphemy. When God is lied about, it's blasphemy. To say that God has lost control of his universe is blasphemy. You don't know who God is if you think that there are accidents in this universe that, and the best you can say is that God is trying to fix it. God is trying to keep up with it. God made the best of it. Well, this bad thing happened, but look at the blessings God brought from it. As if God just, oh, this was an accident. I have to bring a blessing from it. And they think they're doing God a favor. Well, look what good God brought it in on purpose, or he's not God. He dictates all things. He operates all things in accord with the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1:11. Romans 9, it is not of man who is running or who is willing, but of God, the merciful. Out of him, through him, and for him is all. Romans 11, 36. Acts chapter 17, 25 and 28. God gives to all, life and breath and all. Anything short of that is blasphemy. Blasphemy, you're blaspheming God. You can call it right teaching. You can call it church creed. Call it whatever you want. Blasphemy is blasphemy. You're demeaning his position as the sovereign of the universe. And how about this? He sends his son to save the world, and his son failed. Most of humanity is going to be separated from God for eternity. That is blasphemy, and you are a blasphemer. Where are you getting this stuff? Where are you getting these insane babblings? Where are you getting these messages, Christians? I'll tell you where you're getting them from. 1 Timothy 4:1, the teachings of demons. Teachings of demons. They're coming from demonic sources, and you are having intercourse with them. You are going in and out of your church building. You are screwing the prostitute. I haven't finished reading Revelation 17. I'm going to do that now. This is the irony, is that the same group of people who are saying, naughty, naughty, don't even look at a woman with lust in your heart. It's a mistranslation of Matthew 5:28. Jesus wasn't saying, I don't want to get all into that. He wasn't saying that if you look at a woman, that that's adultery. He's saying if you intend to commit adultery and her husband comes home at the last minute, he says it's the same as doing it because the intent of your heart. That's what he's saying. Anyway, no, you can't do this. You can't do that. You have to kill any desire. So they're trying to make themselves the referees in the field of sex. And yet at the same time, they're screwing the prostitute every Sunday, every Wednesday. Every time they teach eternal torment, every time they teach the Trinity, every time they teach human free will, they're screwing the prostitute, the harlot, the great harlot, the mother of all harlots was Babel. It's this effort to make something of yourself apart from God. That's what the inhabitants of Babel wanted to do. That's what the Tower of Babel and the plains of Shinar, that's what that was all about, to unify, to be something. It's not casting your lot onto Christ. It's not realizing you're helpless. No, it's this self-righteousness that we are going to perform for God. We're going to bring this tower up. We're going to gather and we are going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to make God proud of us. We're going to make God smile upon us, as if God's smile depends on human activity, on human performance. It doesn't. It depends on Christ. Never mind that. They don't believe it. So they are blasphemers. They are idolaters because they're worshiping a false god. You know, they're idolaters and blasphemers. That's as good as I can do for now. And he carries me away in spirit to a wilderness. I perceived a woman sitting on a scarlet wild beast replete with names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was clothed with purple and scarlet, gilded with gold, precious stones, pearls. What is that? It's this. The Catholic Church is the mother of all harlots. Have you visited the Vatican lately? I haven't. I'm never going to go. But I hear that they got a lot of valuable crap there. I hear that they're very wealthy. I hear that the Catholic Church has a lot of money. I hear that Joel Osteen has a shitload of money. And I hear that the gospel is a good business to get into. You can make a living out of it. That if you just sign your name to the statement of faith, then you become popular and well-to-do. This is the woman clothed in purple and scarlet. That's what that means. She's wealthy. She's rich. But she's a prostitute. And people are having sex with her because she is rich and wealthy. And it seems like the right thing to do. Remember, John sees this ugly scene behind the scenes. He sees this woman with names of blasphemy with 7 heads, 10 horns. Ooh, you know, this beast that the woman is sitting on has 10 horns and 7 heads. Who's going to go for that? But it doesn't appear that way on earth. That's the trick. The beast does not appear with its 7 heads and 10 horns. It doesn't appear that way. It's the Wizard of Oz thing. It's the reverse Wizard of Oz. It appears like a wonderful organization, a great system. Remember, Satan has systematized his deception. I believe that's Ephesians 4:4. Or maybe it's 4:14. I perceived a woman filled with blasphemy, gold, precious stones, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, brimming with abominations and the uncleanness of the prostitution of her and the earth. The uncleanness of the prostitution. And it's an abomination to believe wrong things about God. This is why the only official image of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only sanctioned image of God. God hates images. This is why he did not want Israel to have idols in their homes. He did not want any graven image. That was number one commandment. Uno comando. Do not make graven images of me. Why? Because God hates for people to get the wrong idea of him. And what are you going to do? Carve this thing out of wooden stone? It doesn't talk. It's ugly. You see these stupid statues, these idols? They dig them up once in a while in Egypt and in ancient Corinth. They're ugly. God hates that. Jesus Christ is beautiful. Jesus Christ is kind. Jesus Christ lets the Apostle John put his head on his breast. And he is a lovely person. And he went to the cross because he loves the world. That's the image of God. What are these ugly, hard statues? Then we're told that the ugliest thing in the world that could possibly exist is that God, the God of all love, the God of all grace, the God of all goodness, will somehow find it within himself to put people in fire for eternity and torture them. That is not a doctrine in the Bible, by the way. Read my book, Martin Zender Goes to Hell, or read The Restitution of All Things by Andrew Jukes. Read All in All by A.E. Nock. There's many books out there you can read that prove this doctrine to be wrong, but it's an abomination that's on the earth. And those who mess with it, those who fuck this abomination, they're telling us, if we even have any lustful thought that we're sinners, they're fucking the prostitute. They are teaching abominations. They're screwing her up the ass every day. And it's ugly. It's the most hideous prostitution there could be, to make a false image of God. Number one sin. And Christians, you are presenting to the world a false image of God, that he could possibly eternally torment people, that he could possibly have given away his free will and now he can't control anything anymore. Those two things are impossible. And yet you teach that. Where did you hear it? I know where you heard it, from demons. But nobody will fuck a demon on purpose. No, because the demon presents itself as chaste and clean and neat. This is why I say having sex with the devil. The devil today, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, disguises himself as a messenger of light. Read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, a messenger of light. Reverse Wizard of Oz. Right? Nice old man out front. Nice old preacher. Pastor Dave. It's Pastor Dave. But behind the curtain where Toto goes, Martin's under, I'm Toto. And I'm yipping and yapping. And I'm pulling the curtain back to show you that behind Pastor Dave is Baal Peor, is a demon, is a false god that is feeding lies about God, feeding false images about God into humanity through church councils. The Council of Nicaea in the 4th century is where the Trinity came from. That's a happy little teaching, except that it denies the death of Christ. If Christ is God, he can't die. It denies, therefore, the resurrection of Christ, makes the resurrection of no effect. It's a terrible, hideous teaching. injected into humanity by a nice church council. Oh, we must bow down and tremble when we hear of the Council of Nicaea. Churchmen got together and drafted this wonderful thing. Where did they get it? Did you ever wonder that? They're doing this. They're screwing the whore of Babylon, of confusion. They're screwing the whore of confusion. The Catholic Church is the mother of all the harlots. She's the big daddy. Everything's an offshoot of that. That started when Constantine in 325 AD or something made Christianity the official church of the Roman Empire, the official religion of the Roman Empire. Yeah, it all went to hell after that, let me tell you. Yeah, the unseen. Yeah. Get Martin Zender Goes to Hell, my book. Go to my website. You'll find all about it. So things went bad when you make Christianity the official religion. Sounds suspect to me, yeah. And it went south, way south after that. But the demons started that. The demons want that to happen. The demons like the fact that a bunch of people are getting together thinking they're worshiping God, but they're fucking the false God. They're screwing the prostitute over, 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 in the front, in the back. And there, this is why, again, I'll never get over this. I want to go to Revelation. I still haven't gone to Matthew chapter 8. This is why the prostitutes get into the kingdom before the priests. How could it possibly be? Isn't prostitution the worst thing? Physical prostitution, like a man paying a woman for sex? That's not that bad. The prostitution I'm talking about from the Old Testament that the Jews did to be joined with the false god Baal Peor, that's cult prostitution. There was a different Hebrew word for a cult prostitute than there was for a regular prostitute. You'll find it in my article. You gotta go to my article, Sex with the Devil. There's a different word. A cult prostitute was very evil because it was a spiritual thing where people were used sex to come into contact with false god, false image of God. God don't like it. Now, a whole, entirely different Hebrew word for a regular run-of-the-mill prostitute. Another word for it was a loose woman. Somebody who, you know, a loose woman, like, yeah, she's kind of flexible. And, you know, she'll do things for you for a couple shekels. All right, it wasn't the most honorable occupation in Israel, but there was no, they didn't stone them, right? They stoned adulterers. They stoned cult prostitutes, but not loose women. They were just loose women. Everybody knew their address, I guess, you know, in Israel. A lot of people did. Anyway, Jesus hung out with loose women. Oh, yeah, of course. You know the story. And the loose women are getting into the kingdom before the rigid priests, because the priests who are doing everything right on the surface. We didn't screw one prostitute today. Nope, not one prostitute. In the meantime, every day they're giving it to the whore. And Jesus brings this out in John chapter 8. And once again, I'm running out of time. I thought for sure I'd get to it today, but I had to make sure you, I'm going to do that tomorrow. You can read ahead of time. You'll be ready for tomorrow. It'll be part 3 of Sex with the Devil. I wanted to make sure today that you understood where I was getting that title, Sex with the Devil. It's, no, people aren't intending to be having sex with the devil. I mean, if I told them, you're having sex with the devil, they'd be appalled. And yet, Babylon is confusion. Christianity is run by a false spirit. And every time you interact with that spirit, you're basically, in God's mind, having sex with the devil. With the devil, not with a loose woman, with Satan. Satan. This is why you will not get into the kingdom early. No, no, no. You'll get in eventually because God is the savior of all humanity. Yes, you'll get in eventually. But the prostitutes, they were real. They didn't deny how God made them. And Jesus Christ could easily befriend them because they weren't pretentious. And that's why they heard his word and they responded to it, because they didn't have this arrogance that religious people have, that Christians have, that Pastor Dave, as humble as he is, has. He has an arrogance. He has an arrogance. He got where he is today because he chose Jesus Christ. He applied himself. He responded correctly to the gospel. And now he's in the position in the church where he is. Yeah, he gets the first fucking rights to the prostitute. He's right there in the front row. Yeah, he goes in first. He goes in first. Then the rest come in and get her from behind.